This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. Oh, there's been a lot going on. I can tell you about what's been happening in my life. Today, I woke up and we went to a funeral. We had to be there at 10:30 and we sang a couple of songs in the choir. There was a woman who had gone to a earlier service, the 9:30 service. Close the door. Thanks, son. My wife just left to do some water aerobics, but I asked her to close the door because we've got our guys, and he likes to be involved with everything, and he's very destructive too. And my wife tells me he's got separation anxiety, so when someone's not here, he'll be chewing shoes up and furniture. And, oh my God. Anyway, like I'm saying, we went to this funeral, but I didn't know I think she was 75. She was born in 40. So let me just move this over here a little bit. Can you hear me okay? I hope so. And I was downstairs the last few weeks. I had my setup in the patio, but today the connectivity was not good. So I came upstairs. Connectivity is always better here in the bedroom. It's the same thing when I call my son or he calls me. The connectivity is better here in the bedroom. So here I am now by myself. I've got Goldie right next to me here on the bed. And my wife, she just went out the door. And so at the funeral today, we sang a song called God is So Good. How does that go? Let me think here for a couple of seconds. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Another one is, the other song we sang was, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. Well, what else has been going on in my life? Let me tell you. Friday, I went to a local high school called John Paul Stevens, or just John Stevens High School, and I've been coordinating this for a while, because if some of you have listened to my previous shows, I've said that I am a Toastmaster, and a Toastmaster is somebody who practices public speaking, and I do that all the time. Usually, well, I have three clubs that I go to. One that meets once a week at 6:30 in a Sea Island restaurant. They have a conference room kind of there. And it's a club for women. It's called Lead to Succeed. But I'm a man, and they do allow men to join. There have been other men, but right now I am the only one. And then there's one called Beyond Basics, which meets the second Saturday of each month. So we'll be going next Saturday at 9:30 in the morning. Have you ever tried getting up early in the morning and going to a place and sitting down at a table with about 10, 15 people and having to get up and talk in front of them? It's not easy, but I'm getting pretty good at it myself. You know what the answer is, my friends? Practice, simply. And public speaking shouldn't be rocket science. It shouldn't be difficult. It just requires practice. And in order to practice, that's why we have Toastmasters. I happen to be a division director, which means I'm responsible for 19 clubs. And that keeps me busy sometimes, other than my work. You know, I'm able to manage it right now. I know we have difficult times of the year, like when we have our Toastmasters Learning Institutes and our speech contests. And usually, being a division director, I have my area directors handle that. I'm supposed to delegate authority, which I do. And my term will last until 30 June. And I'm grateful that it will, because sometimes, you know, especially when you get older, you don't want to have to do things. And you just want to relax and rest and do what you want to do, you know. We don't get paid for it, but still, it's a lot of fun. And also, it prepares you for, like, when you talk in front of a lot of people, because the energy when you're talking in front of a lot of people is tangible. And I do mean tangible, you know. They're looking at you, and you can almost cut the atmosphere with a knife, so to speak. Like when I read the scriptures at church about 2 weeks ago, going on 3 weeks, and I had about maybe, there was a few verses in the Bible that I read from a piece of paper, which I'd copied the verbiage and pasted it onto this Word document so I could read it better and increase the font. And there was about 200 people in the room, a lot of military, retired military, civilians, families. And I'd done that before, but it's never easy, you know. And when you're trying not to make a mistake and trip on a word, it makes it even more difficult, you know. And I think I did okay. I didn't make any mistakes, but there's always room for improvement with everything, right? Practice is the key. So now transitioning to some more subjects, let me tell you a bit more about what I've been doing. I've been thinking about retirement. And I'm 70 years old. I served 22 years active duty. I was a contractor for 6 years after I retired. And then I became a Department of the Army civilian. And next August, I'll have 15 years. So I'm thinking about retirement. But the thing is, the job I've got right now, it pays so well. And I don't want to quit it. And in my retirement, find out I don't have enough money and have to get a part-time job making a third, maybe at the most, a third of what I'm making right now. You know what I mean? So I feel good about my health at 70 years old. I just came from the track a little while ago. I went and did about a mile, fast walking, breathing through the nose, just as fast as you can walk. That's really good. Good for the heart, the brisk walk, fast walk. Check it out on the internet. If you don't believe me, it's there. It raises the heartbeat. It increases, it enhances your longevity. I mean, it helps you to live longer, so they say, and I believe it too. But also, I throw in a few sprints in between. And I'm going to be coming out with a book. That's my plan. I've already got a book in the Amazon Kindle bookstore called The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. The Gray Brain, G-R-E-Y, Brain, and the Golden Soul. And that's 80 pages, chock-a-block full, so to speak, of spirituality, my friends, that will help you get to a higher level of evolution. Yes, and why not? Because I learned all that from other people. So if you don't mind learning from other people, we're all in this together, my friends. Come on. We are one. We're like little sparks of light floating around in the universe, all pieces of the Creator, the Supreme Creator, like quarks. You know, a quark is, it's like a subatomic particle. Quarks of Light. There's a book, actually. The man who wrote the book, his name, I think, is David Derrickson. There's a video of him in YouTube from Anthony Chain, C-H-E-N-E Productions. They have all these videos of near-death experiences. And there's so many amazing near-death experiences out there that people have had. People who died were clinically dead and saw some stuff, you know. One common thing is that they all leave their body and they look down. They can look down on it from up above, near the ceiling, or maybe this one guy. His name is Chris Batts. He wanted to commit suicide, so he was thinking about jumping in front of a train. And his love. Love is the key, my friends. He didn't have, a lot of people are loveless. Just love people, you know. He didn't have a mother. His mother threw him away, put him in a dumpster when he was a baby. And so he grew up with his grandmother and went from one home to another. Not a lot of love, right? And so he got into drugs and alcohol, and he was planning his suicide. He was going to do it one day. He had a friend with him in the car, and he was going to jump in front of his train. So driving down the road, and he was going to be left off and jump in front of this train, but the guy kept on driving. So he just opened up the door and fell out. And I don't know how fast the car was going, maybe 50, 60 miles an hour. He said he heard a boom. His head hit the concrete. And among other things, he was looking from up above down on his body, and he met a couple of angels. And one of them said that it's not really your time. There's a lot to do. You've got a lot of work to do to go back and tell people that, you know, this life isn't everything. There's more to this life than what we see and what we think. There is another realm beyond the five physical senses. And angels are as real as we are in that dimension. And we get to that dimension when we die. You know, I had a good friend at work die last week, and it was shocking. It always is, even though I can rationalize it. I mean, I study about the spirit and what happens when we pass away, and where we're going to go, and what we're going to be doing. And his name was Mark Cravens, and I've known him. I knew him since 2010. We were actually in the same job, MOS, in the Army. Mortars, 11 Charlie Infantry. I did 4 years. He was a major in the Army. He retired. And we worked together at Headquarters Installation Management Command on Fort Sam Houston. And he was a friend. We always talked football, just a friendlier guy you'll never meet, but very brilliant too, very intelligent in all his work. And he developed prostate cancer, and he was taking medication, and he had other complications. I think he had sleep apnea too, and so he just didn't wake up last week. I think it was Wednesday, and it's so sad when one of us departs this world, you know, after so many years. I think it was 59 years old. We're not going to live forever, right? Tomorrow's not guaranteed for any of us. So if I can give you one piece of advice, it's like what that man Chris Batt said, just love. And going back to what David, I think Dickerson or Derrickson said in his near-death experience, he had a daughter who was a special needs daughter. And she had problems since she was born. She grew up to be like paraplegic, and she would have seizures too. And she needed constant 24/7 help from her parents. And she was like 26 years old at the time of the video. And so it was very difficult for him and his wife to raise that person. And he had a near-death experience. He got a heart transplant. His heart was bad, so to speak, and he got a heart transplant. So he had all kinds of, besides that, he had other medical issues. And he left his body and went out into the universe, and he saw some beautiful things, the nebulas that are out there, all the beautiful colors, you know, the different suns that are out there, the stars, and how much bigger they are when you look through the filter of outer space instead of through the atmosphere of Earth. And everything's sparkling like a diamond out there, very brilliant. And he wrote that book, Quarks of Life, because he had a revelation. The creative universe came to him, otherwise known as the source, you know, the creator, the master of the creation. Everything exists because of the creator. A creator, I love you, thank you for everything. You are awesome. We worship you. We will worship you. He is the creator of the universe, both male and female, alpha and omega, the positive, the negative, the yin, the yang, is an amazing being. He, she is a real being, kind of like an electrical being. And the near-death experience of Donna Rebado, R-E-B-A-D-O-W on YouTube, she talks about having met the creative universe. Same thing with David. Donna was found herself, she drowned. She drowned, actually really drowned. I mean, lungs filled with water and all the air gone, sinking to the bottom, you know. However, the Creator decided to save her, to allow her then to come back to life and tell the world that, hey, there's more than just a mother and father God out there, you know. There is a mother God, because in order to make children, and we are the children of God, right? Jesus said our Father. So we are our Father who art in heaven. We are the children of God, no doubt about it. The master of the universe, supreme creator. But there is a mother. In order to create children here on earth, you need a mother, right? Why don't you think it's the same in the spirit realm? I tell you it is, and I'll tell you something else too, that we're going to have sex when we get to heaven. Yes, I know that's as far as we're going to go. I mean, I don't think that's inappropriate to say on my radio show. You better believe it. It's a different kind of making love, so to speak, and it lasts longer. So isn't that something to look forward to? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. You know, kick those inhibitions, my friends. Get rid of them, because you're alive today. You might not be alive tomorrow with me. So Donna met the creator of the universe. She found herself in outer space. She called it eternity. And she said she went to a veil, like a saran wrap kind of veil, like popped through. And that is known as the river of oblivion when we come into this planet. When we're born, do you remember when you were born? I don't either. Isn't that amazing? I mean, our eyes were open, our brains were functioning, our hearts were beating, our lungs were purifying the air we breathed. But we don't remember it. But there is a possibility that we can, through hypnotic regression and maybe other means, go all the way back, remember all the way back to when we were born as a baby. I can remember when I was 2 years old. I can remember a lot, living in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Anyway, Donna found herself going through that river of oblivion where all the memories of her past lives are erased. And universal knowledge is no longer accessible. And she found then herself approached by the Creator. She said, she looked at her body. The spirit body is almost similar to the physical body. It's got characteristics very similar. Facial characteristics, hair, two arms, two legs. And it's made of light. Your spirit is made of light energy. What does that mean? Billions of electrons, quarks of light, possibly. And you're either translucent or transparent, which means we're all the colors of the rainbow. Our spirits are all the colors of the rainbow. You can see the light, and sometimes you can see through your hands or your feet. And it's very much real. And you have the same feelings, too. It's almost like a physical body where you can't actually feel pain, and you can touch and you can see, but it's a different kind of vision. It's almost like a 360-degree vision where you can see all around you, behind you, and above. And then you can hear, too. It's a different kind of thing. It's almost like you can hear sounds, too, and smells, and you can intermingle the different senses are, and it's pretty amazing. And there are different colors in the spirit realm too that we are not familiar with here on earth. So anyway, Donna said she was looking at her body and she saw these electrons. And then she was communicating with them. And that's pretty amazing to me how that happened to her, that she experienced that. You know, she went through that. And then she, as they were communicating to her, because the soul is the brain of the spirit, you know, it's a little piece of light from the Creator. It shines. Your spirit will shine with a certain intensity of light, depending on how evolved or how spiritually developed you are. So it behooves all of us, right, while we're here on earth, to learn as much as we can about spiritual things and evolve our souls, because when we pop out of our bodies on that day, sometime hopefully far into the future, because every day on life is a every day on earth, every day of life on earth is a gift. It's a blessing. We will have a brighter, shining light than when we first came here. And that's why we're here, to develop spiritually. So let's say you were born, I've talked about this before on previous radio shows. Let's just say, for an example, you're born with a 60-watt light bulb soul in your spirit, which is in your body. We are spirits in the material world. Come on now, if the police said that, you know it's true, right? Anyway, the object is to graduate or transition from this existence to the afterlife, crossover to the spirit realms, to the spirit world, that world on fire out there in the solar system where the other planets revolve around it and rotate on their axes, thanks to the power of that world. It's a very special fire, and it's the home of the spirit. That's what we were born, our spirits and our souls were born. Although it's possible, if you're a mystic traveler and you got many past lives under your belt, that you were born on another sun in another solar system, possibly even another galaxy. Anyway, so Donna, all of a sudden, while she was communicating with her cells of her body, isn't that amazing? They said, he's coming, he's coming. She said, who's coming? And she looked, and you got to see that YouTube video if you don't believe me, because she really was dead. She drowned. This was what they call a designer death, because she was on a lake toy, one of those things that's pulled behind a jet boat, you know, usually for skiing, water skiing. And some of these lakes up in the northeast United States, like in New York State, I think in the Adirondack Mountains, she would go up there once a year, and they had a timeshare, a cottage that they would take turns going to in the summertime, and they would do fishing and water skiing, and then they would have this lake toy, which would be hooked to the boat. And this boat was an unsinkable boat, supposedly. There was no way it could sink. It was made in such a way that water couldn't come inside. And they were playing around just before lunchtime. They'd done some fishing earlier in that morning. And all of a sudden, after going around a bit on the lake toy, falling off and having fun, laughing, getting back on, the guy, her brother-in-law, was driving the boat. He yelled to them, get off the lake toy. The boat is sinking. And they had a baby on board, so they had to go to the shore. And first of all, that's one point in the designer death that the creator created for her. That normally wouldn't happen, a boat that wasn't supposed to sink. So anyway, she threw the cord over to the left side. And this cord is supposed to float. It's a floatable cord. It's not supposed to sink underneath the water. And all of a sudden, Donna noticed that it not only was not floating on the water, but it was down in the water and wrapped around her leg. And next thing she knew, the boat fired up and she was being dragged as the boat was heading to the shore. She went under the water, and some of the air was coming out of her lungs, and she saw the bubbles go up from her mouth up to the surface. And she was thinking to herself, you know, I really could use that air, you know, kind of humorously. Ironically thinking that, you know. And then she started thinking, well, I know I'm going to die. I wonder when they're going to have where they're going to have the funeral. I'm going to take a drink. Hold on just a second. Wait. Where are they going to have the funeral? And it was at that time she left her body and she found herself in outer space. Water down there, okay. And so now back to where she was, communicating with the spirit cells, the electrons, which almost have a life of their own, apparently, are alive and create the essence of the spirit. You know, that's just the way it is, apparently. And they said, he's coming, he's coming. She said, who's coming? And it was at that time she saw and sensed a presence coming from like behind, she was in outer space, from behind planet Earth, coming up from behind the Earth. And she said the best way to describe the creator of the universe, because she realized she was in the presence of the creator of the universe, was like he was the aurora, like an aurora borealis, but all different colors of the rainbow. And she knew that there was an electrical being in there, in that field of energy. And she said to herself, "Oh my God, you're the creator of the universe." And she heard back telepathically, you know, because she was outside of her body, immediately, "I am the creator of the universe." And then she said, "Oh my God, you know everything." And she heard back immediately, telepathically, "I know everything." And she proceeded to have a conversation with the creator to include what was going to happen. She realized she had to go back because not only was she supposed to share this information with everybody, but also her family needed her. She had some children, and she realized that they wouldn't do well without her. So she chose to go back. Actually, the creator gave her a choice, and kind of humorously, and don't anyone doubt, please, the humor, sense of humor of the creator of the universe. He said in a matter-of-fact way, "So, Donna," and she also had another name, which he called her by, but he also called her Donna, "what do you want to do now?" Imagine that. And she said, he thought about it and said, "Well, since you created me, I'll leave the choice to you." And no sooner as she said that, then she was being rocketed back down to her body. And as she was going back down, she heard the creator up above saying to her, "Good answer," as she was going down. Now tell me, isn't that funny? Who would think the creator of the universe had a sense of humor like that? You've got a being that's omniscient, right? Knows everything. Omnipotent, can do anything, create anything, anywhere, right? Human beings on another planet, elsewhere in the universe, in another galaxy, all the sentient beings that are out there, thousands and thousands and thousands of different types. We know that the creator has had billions of years since the physical universe was created to create any type of life he or she wanted to create. And don't you know that our creator is a creator of bodies and planets and suns? There's nothing that the creator can't do, my friends. So to think that there isn't life elsewhere in the universe is not knowing the creator and the nature of the creator to create, the power of the creator, the knowledge of the creator. But even if it happened all by accident, logically, and I know everyone values logic, it could happen by accident anywhere, and they're discovering more and more planets each day out there. You know that. There are every sun that you look up in the evening sky, every star, every sun has, and number 9 is the number of the universe, at least 9 planets revolving around that sun. Every single one. If you don't believe me, and science hasn't actually come out, and astronomers haven't come out and said that, but it's true. I don't know why. Because if we realize that, if we really realize that, then the likelihood of there being life elsewhere would be greatly increased. Do you know what I mean? And some planets might not be Earth-like, you know, but like Jupiter or gas giant or Saturn, or maybe Mars. You know, planets cool down. They're in the green zone for a while, and then they go outside that green zone orbit around the sun. Or maybe Venus, you know, and planets like that that have extreme heat and pressure and Mercury. But we know, and from what I've read and what I've learned, other beings out there are indigenous to the atmosphere of their planet, and their bodies were created that way to withstand the pressure or the heat or whatever other circumstances they're in, you know, weather conditions. Their skin could be of a different coarser nature, it could be a different color. their eyes different to withstand the pressure, perhaps. They could be like human eyes. They could be big black eyes like the grays. And there's many variations of them out there. They could be very tall like the extraterrestrial from the planet Thiouba. The book Abduction to the Ninth Planet is one of my favorite books. And these beings are hermaphrodite, transgender. Yes, transgender is actually pretty common throughout the universe. You know, the people who are transgender here on Earth are born that way. They volunteered to come to Earth to be in that body. Why, you might ask? In order to bring a love, more love and tolerance and patience for each other. Because when you have more patience and tolerance for each other, then love grows, right? Does that make sense? And we can use some more love. We don't have enough love to go around. We've got too many people making too many problems and not enough love to go around. We've got this bitter competition going on between the political parties. And it would be good if they could come together and govern us, we the people, as per the Constitution. Although, I mean, that's an old document created back then when there was a revolution going on. And I'm sure they didn't envision 200-300 years in the future and even further that it would be applicable to us at that time. But still, it's got some very beautiful words in there about freedom and happiness and pursuit of happiness and independence. And it's all about freedom, too. You know, we need to be free to do what we want to do. Free will. We were given free will. We know that. We're here. We want to do what we want to do. We are co-creator gods in the making through that process of reincarnation, incarnating here on Earth, transitioning to the other side, spending some time in that beautiful oasis called heaven, where it looks just like Earth, but the colors are more bright and intense. There's angels everywhere, all the redeemed people that lived here on Earth at one time or another throughout the centuries from different cultures all together there. And it's bustling. The activities are going on. There's groups of people meeting. There's seminars. There's music being played all the time. There's heavenly. There's all kinds of people creating music in heaven. And it's all praising the creator of the universe because none of this had to happen. We are pieces, parts of the creator. And anyway, let me get back to Donna. All of a sudden, she found herself in her body. And she was like to herself saying, okay, what just happened here? Here I am back in my body and I'm dead. But like I said, this was a designer death created by the creator of the universe to allow her to go through that death experience, come back and talk about her meeting with the creator of the universe so that we know that there's more than just a mother and father God out there, co-creator gods of solar systems who live on that spirit world made of fire because the spirit is made of light energy. Does that make sense? We can live in the fire as a spirit. The creator in his, her beautiful plan for the universe, as the universe began forming itself, one solar system after another and one galaxy after another, after so many solar systems were in a galaxy, there's a limit. And then a new galaxy began to form, one solar system after another. The first force of the universe was the force that created all the suns, the planets, the moons. The second force was the force that created all the plant and animal life. The third force was the force that created all the sentient life. All the different extraterrestrials that are out there, millions of them. Millions of them, my friends, the universe is teeming with life. And the fourth force is that spark, the infinitesimal spark of the creator, a piece of is her light in us, in our souls. It lights our soul, and which is the brain of the spirit. And it's supposed to grow in intensity through the process of evolution so that we can become co-creator gods. And in outer space there, in infinite outer space, as the borders of infinite space are expanding as we talk, there'll be plenty of your own patch of outer space. Sometime in the future, if I'm wrong, then you can tell me when we get to heaven. You'd come up and say, I listened to your radio show. You were right about a lot of things, but you weren't right about the universe expanding and the borders of infinite space expanding and about how co-creator gods are co-creator gods of solar systems and they can create their own planets and their own spirit children. If I'm wrong, you can tell me that, and I'll say, okay, I admit, I'll take responsibility for my wrong words. But if I'm right, you can come up to me in heaven when we get there and say, Blake, you know, most of what you said was true. Maybe some things weren't quite entirely accurate, but otherwise, I really enjoyed your show, and that was great. And I would say, yeah, well, I learned, and that's okay. I learned from other people, and I just wanted to spread that information along. I read lots of books. If you read my book, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul, you'll see in the references all these incredible books that I read that will tell you, like, what to expect when we die, the mother and father God. As I said, you need a mother and a father to create children, unless you think we're not the children of God. And then, you know, there's some people who believe only in the Father God. And that's where they are in their evolution. That's okay. At least they believe in a half of what's out there, you know, if you know what I mean. But more than that, you're not giving the Father God his due as a male spirit to want a female by his side. I guarantee you, Father God wants female companionship. And who are we to tell him that he can't have a female spirit, a queen, if you will, a beautiful lady of light by his side? And I do mean beautiful. Wait till you see the Mother God, my friends. You shall knock you down with her beauty. She's so beautiful and intelligent. Take it from me. You feel it? You feel it? It's true. So the Mother and Father God are co-creator gods, the solar system. And when we're there in heaven, what is there to do other than praise the Creator for the creator of the universe, for the miracles of all creation? There's not one thing that was created. Not one thing that wasn't created by the Creator. All those trees out there, the ocean, the mountains, the rocks, the sand of a beach, all that was created. All that was in the imagination of the Supreme Creator at the beginning. Everything that was going to be formed, everything that exists now, was swirling around in, so to speak, in the mind of the Creator. Why? Because the Creator, all those billions of years ago, wanted to have more growth, if you will, and to experience his or herself through another being. And the Creator, the beings that would exist, all the sentient beings, through the third force, as I mentioned, and the fourth force, that spark that he put inside each sentient being, so that one day, whatever they assimilated through their experiences of their lifetimes, through that process of reincarnation, achieving co-creator God status, and then they would also have the option of joining the great ether of the spirit of the universe, the great spirit, the supreme creator, like a drop of water into the ocean of God's spirit, thereby making it even larger and more intelligent. Is there anything greater than growth, my friends? We as babies, as I mentioned, we were born. We were babies at one time. I see people looking at babies and saying, oh, they're so beautiful. Oh, what a, oh, little baby. Oh, I love you. So beautiful. Forgetting that, hey, we were babies too at one time. You know, we went through that. The creator of the universe existed before all of that. There was darkness and silence at one time. And then by the power of the Supreme Creator's will, the universe began forming itself, one solar system after another, through the Big Bang. There was that initial explosion, the Big Bang, and then the universe began forming itself in accordance with the will of the Creator. And part of that plan was, as I mentioned, those four forces, was that we develop ourselves, kind of like going through school, you know, kindergarten through college, and maybe even having a master's degree and a PhD, all that process. Think how far people have come from kindergarten to a PhD. It's kind of like what our lives are like in the university of the universe. Planet Earth is a school, and we're here to learn. And what have we learned so far? we learn that there's a lot of killing and war going on, right? And we know that's not good. And we know we don't want that. But what can we do? Love is the key. All you have to do, and I was mentioning before, David, when he had his near-death experience, his daughter was paraplegic. You know, she was had all these medical issues, and she could hardly speak. And she was waiting on hand and foot because she couldn't look after herself. And she was like 26 years old. He saw her spirit come to him in his near-death experience. And she was full, and she was wholly formed, a beautiful spirit. And he said, I'm sorry. You know, he communicated with her telepathically. I'm sorry that we couldn't look after you better. I'm sorry that you have to go through this. I'm sorry that you have to experience everything that you have to experience. What can we do? What can I do to make it better for you? And she just said two words to him, three words, actually. Just love me. That's all you have to do. Just a little more love, my friends, please. Try to dig out a little more love to your fellow human being. They might not be here tomorrow. Mr. Trump, for example, changing the subject, almost died. You know how close that bullet came to ending his life. And still, we forget about that. And the mean comments go back and forth, you know, without blaming one side or the other. But how fragile we are, my friends, how close we are to death. It's worthy to note that we need to love each other more. And we can do that. You can do that. How do we love each other more? I'll tell you the key. I'm going to take a drink. Now, if I tell you this, you're not going to forget it, are you? Promise me you won't forget it. Okay. You ready? You're not going to forget this, right? Okay. If you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you'll remember this, won't you? And I've said it before on previous radio shows. It is pray for each other. That's one of the things that we were told to do when we came to Earth, when we talked about coming to Earth, when we existed in the spirit realms in our pre-existence before being born on this world, we existed as spirits. And this bottle of water is not cooperating. Okay, there. I'll put it down. We made contracts with all of our soul friends and what we're going to look like, the actions that was going to happen during our lives. We planned it all. We planned it all. And the goal is to come as close as we can to what we planned in our pre-existence until when we graduate from planet Earth, when we transition to the afterlife, the other side, crossover. Believe me, you even and what you're going to look like, little facial features, maybe a mole on your cheek, or maybe the way other facial characteristics. You planned everything, who your mother was going to be, who your father was going to be, the friends that you were going to have. And you know most of the people, all the people you know in this life, you knew them in the spirit realm, in the pre-existence. And then you have spirit guides that are helping us. We all have spirit guides. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's guardian angels also. Angels and spirit guides are different. And it is all very amazing. And in my book, The Great Brain and the Golden Soul, I talk about all that. I talk about the supreme creator of the universe. I talk about our mother and father God. I talk about Jesus, who Jesus really was. I talk about demons that are in hell, you know, that place down beneath the surface of the earth. And all those people who are really bad, they need to spend some time there. And it's not eternal damnation, because the mother and father God are forgiving spirits. The people that say that there is eternal damnation are not very loving. It's like you had your own child and they got into trouble, they made a mistake, and they disobeyed you. Would you condemn them to an eternity of suffering and pain just because they disobeyed you or made a mistake, even as far as killing somebody? You know, a murderer now who kills with malice and evil intent, someone like that will be dealt with down there in God's jail. And there are some demons down there that are just absolutely horrific, just terribly terrifying. I mean, look, they look like Trinosaurus. Some, a couple in particular I read in the book, 23 Minutes in Hell, look like Trinosaurus Rexes with all the fangs and the they have sharp claws. And they, as I mentioned, the spirit body is similar to the physical body. It can be torn apart. I mean, you can feel like things like for the people that go to hell in their spirit, it can be torn apart, but then it miraculously heals, and then it happens all again. It's a process that you go through, and it's like a rehabilitation to kind of knock that evil, that wickedness out of their souls and their spirits. And there's a lot of people that, surprisingly, that do go to hell nowadays. And that lake of fire is real too. People burning in the fire. There you go, you see. Don't you know that spirits can exist in fire? Not only the fire of the sun, but also the fire down below the earth in those lava beds. And worms crawl through the body, and then there are snakes that inflict the occasional bite, and spiders and other demons that torture and tease and intimidate. All kinds of demons there that are grotesque and absolutely have no mercy. Absolutely have no mercy. And then you spend time there, you're rehabilitated, and then you continue your soul's journey without going into the details. Not everybody, of course, goes to hell, so don't worry. As long as you're a good person and you know that you are, you don't have to say, well, I'm a Christian, you know. I need to go through Jesus to get to the Father. Well, I just told you, first of all, that there is a mother there also. That prayer that Jesus said, pray, our Father who art in heaven, should be our mother and father who art in heaven. Also, as co-creator God's in the making, and if you can die, if you have the potential to die, you are a co-creator God in the making. If you have a brain, you are a co-creator God in the making, my friends. And so, therefore, you also have the ability to tell the truth, the light, and show the way to people like Jesus did. You don't need Jesus to go to the Father. I mean, I support the people that say that because it's better to believe than not to believe. But I also can show you the way to the Mother and Father God and to the Creator of the universe. Now, here's a prayer to the Creator of the universe as an example prayer. And you should pray to the Creator of the universe. I said before that prayer is the key to loving each other. It is. All you have to do is have the courage and the strength to say prayers all throughout the day, to pray constantly without ceasing, right? Can you do that? Are you brave enough? Are you strong enough, my friends, to pray for each other? I'm not talking about like a night before you go to bed, which is good, which is what I do, but also during the day. I always say a prayer when I get in my car and drive down the freeway. It's because thousands of people die each year around the world in car accidents. It happens. 40,000 people die a day around the world from one thing or another. So it makes sense to pray. I say, God, keep us safe, please. Protect us as we're driving. Watch over us, please. Thank you, God, for everything. What a beautiful day. But if you really want to communicate, give this a try for me, would you please? We're running out of time here. Go outside tonight in the darkness. Isn't this an amazing situation we're part of? We have half a day of light, half a day of darkness. It reminds me of that song, I Love the Night. The day is okay and the sun can be fun, but I live to see those rays slip away. I Love the Night by Blue Oyster Cult. It's a beautiful song. Go outside, look up and know that there's a creator of all that. And he's alive and well. You wouldn't exist if he wasn't. It's kind of like if the sun were to extinguish itself within 8 minutes, planet Earth would be nothing more than a cold shell of a planet, because the light is what keeps the planet alive. I'm going to take a drink. And just try to communicate with the Creator. Do me a favor, also watch that video on the web, R-E-B-A-D-O-W, and she talks about the Creator of the universe, what I just explained. Creator's out there. Creator's got a great sense of humor. Creator knows everything and is omnipotent. Power that we can't comprehend. It's a magic. It's kind of a magical power. And you could say something like, Creator of the universe, how great you are. I know that you are omnipotent and you are omniscient and you created everything, this whole universe, so that you can grow and experience yourself through us. How wonderful you are. Thank you for my life. It's an amazing thing that I'm a part of. All this life is beautiful too. I love all the life that you created here on earth. It's amazing, and you are worthy of praise forever, for eternity. And that's what they do in heaven, like I was saying before. They don't get there. It's all going to be about growth. Amen. The light of our souls. What it's all about, increasing our light. And when we get before the Mother and Father God, you will see another spirit there. Their light shines so brightly. They wash over you with a glory and a brilliance that you just can't understand. It's so powerful. Light can be increased. That's it, my friends. Say a prayer to the Creator of the universe. I love you. And may the Creator bless all of us and help us in any way we need us and protect us. Amen. Bye.